Classes began. My training went indoors. At moments, I almost missed Fort Benning's thumping boots, its smells of canvas and cordite. It was hard to stay awake in the classrooms, though learning how to break the code of a make-believe message was entertaining, like a party game. Robert McNamara, the Secretary of Defense, called the Army the largest single educational complex in the history of the world. Maybe he believed this, but he said it in order to justify lowering the intelligence standards for admission to the Army. He said he wanted to give underprivileged, undereducated boys a chance to learn marketable skills. The actual effect, of course, was to keep children of the wealthier classes out of the draft and safely in college, while the lower class, marginally qualified draftees went on to learn how to fire machine guns and mortars. To me, the Army seemed like the world's largest factory because of the interchangeability of its human parts. ASA school was like a college with a curriculum designed so that virtually anyone could teach it. After classes, Friday afternoon, I hurried back to Cambridge. Saturday morning, I took a stroll with Susan Riggs. A tall blonde woman waved to her. "Oh, look, it's Joni," Susan said, waving back. Susan introduced us. We shook hands. Joni's hands felt not limp, but very gentle. She had fragile-looking wrists. I liked her simple ponytail. The miniskirt she wore wasn't right for her. It made her thighs look heavy. I didn't mind. I glanced away, determined not to stare, and when I turned back, I saw that she was biting her lip, looking me up and down. "You look like Hamlet," she said. She made a little laugh, almost a giggle, and then, turning her face slightly away, she said, "I bet you have a lot of girlfriends." "No, not really," I said. Joni had a peaceful, quiet, wistful quality and a cooing voice.